Praise God. How about that? Your Bibles this morning. I believe this is a crowd that does. Let's run over the Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter number, I believe, chapter number 19, 17, 18, something like that. 17 sounds good. Over to Joshua 17, and we're picking up. We left off at in our series on Joshua. And remember, our whole theme of this year is what? Courage to continue. When you walk out of these doors, when it's time to leave, one of the last things you'll see as you walk through the doors, as you look up, which says, courage to continue. And he says to Joshua in verse, chapter 1, verse 9, be strong and of what? Good courage. It takes courage, my dear friends, for us to continue. And today we're going to look at a passage of scripture and some folks that apparently lacked a little courage. But we're going to see what the Lord had to say about that. But look at Joshua chapter number 17 and verse number 14. And now once you've gotten there, let's all stand. We'll read, we'll pray, and see what the Master has for lunch today. Look at Joshua chapter number 17 and verse number 14. And the Bible says this. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites, of the giants, and Mount Ephraim, if it be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites and that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. We're going to talk this morning, this little thought, complaining or conquering? Complaining or conquering? Father, I pray for your help this morning. Pray for my voice, or last. Lord, just help me to preach your word this morning. And I pray and ask God that you take the word of God, and I pray God to place this word into the hearts of each person that's gathered here this morning. And I pray, God, it spring up and begin to grow and produce great dividends in their life. And I pray, God, they take the word and share it with someone else. I pray, God, you'd challenge us. I pray, God, you'd motivate us. I pray, God, that you'd help us in whatever way, Father, that we need your help. And with that, God, we'll shout hallelujah. I pray, God, for that person that might be among us or perhaps watching who is not as close to you as they perhaps have been or desire to be. But I pray, God, this morning, that you would start a flame. Mm-hmm. That you would start a fire. Inside that cannot be quenched by Satan. It can't be quenched by the flesh. It can't be quenched by problems and situations. But yet, God, it will still flame up and produce great fire. Holy Ghost fire. And for that, God will thank you. Then my mind shifts to that one that might be here today that's not saved, blood-bought, and born again. I pray, God, if they don't know where they stand at, with salvation. I pray, God, that in spite of fear, in spite of the things that are trying to stop them, I pray, God, that they press forward and come forward and say, preacher, could you show me how to know for sure that heaven is my final destination? And Father, it shall be my privilege. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. That's it for now, Master. If I've left anything out, take care of that too, sir. For it's in your son's name we pray. Yes, sir. Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Complaining or conquering. The word complaining means to express dissatisfaction, resentment, to make a formal accusation. The synonyms, or one of the synonyms, is the word murmuring. We've heard that in the Bible before. Amen. And the Bible teaches us that in verse number 14, we find some people that were not satisfied with their lot. Now, you got to realize now, these lots that were given out, these portions that were given out, were given out, thanks to her. They were given out by God. So I want you to think about this for a second. If God said, okay, this is your spot. This is your portion. And then you say, it's not enough. What are you saying to God? You don't know what I need. You don't know how much I need. Even though you came by and you're the one who dispensed it, you're the one who placed it on the hearts of those ones in, that were in charge and said, hey, this goes to Manasseh, this goes to Ephraim, and this goes to all the rest of the families. But the covenant God said, this ain't enough. He said, God, you don't know what I need. That's basically what they were saying. Look what it's saying. The Bible says here, my dear friends, in verse number 14, and the children of Joshua spake unto the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Don't you know we need more? Now, no one wants to be found guilty of telling God that you don't know how much I need, apparently. But oftentimes, we murmur and complain. Remember that word complaining means to express dissatisfaction, resentment, to make a formal accusation, murmur. And oftentimes we do the same exact thing. The first thing we see, my dear friends, is their complaining. And nowhere in the Bible does God exhort us to just keep on complaining. As a matter of fact, look with me over at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Look what the Bible says about murmurings. Now, look what it says about murmurings. Now, it ain't for us. This is for the other folks you're going to share it with. Look what it says in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 14. The Bible says this. Paul talking to the church of Philippi. And Paul says in verse number 14, do all things with murmurings and disputings. Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that. Oh, I'm sorry. Do all things without. Oh, my. Do all things. That word do is a present imperative, which means it's a command, can do something continuously. He says, I'm commanding you to continuously do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, that word murmuring in this verse means this. No, listen. It means this. A secret displeasure, not openly avowed or admitted or acknowledged, grudgingly. Let me read it again. A secret displeasure. In other words, you're displeased, but you're trying to hide it from him. But guess what? God knows. Oh, praise the Lord for the car that we got. It's half working, half starts up on Sunday. But Lord, we thank you. Praise the Lord. And on the inside, like, man, this don't make no sense. And he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too. God could be giving me a car. You're on the inside, like, he sees that. See, it's easy. I'll be like, oh, thank you. I want to work in the nursery. Yes. But inside, he said, man, if I had this baby, I wouldn't be in this nursery. Oh my God. I gotta do my time. My goodness. You know. Murmurings. Dissatisfaction. Listen, my dear friends, but notice what he says. Do all things, without murmurings and disputings. That word disputings means debate. Some of y'all got children, know what that means, don't you? Time to go to school, they want to debate on what they're gonna wear. What they're not going to wear, or whatever the case might be. They want to debate whether or not I should do these chores or not. We're not going to debate. Well, we live in a democracy. This is the United States. Yes, you live out there. There's a democracy. In here it ain't. Amen. We got somebody in charge, and that's supposed to be the parents. Amen. Amen. That was weak. Amen. Some of y'all don't forgot. Y'all supposed to be leading the kid. That kid leading y'all. But I tell you what, my friends, oftentimes we say, we want to find out, well, little giant, what do you want to do? Now I'm going to say what's amazing. We'll ask little Johnny, do you want to go there to the church this morning? Or stay home, baby. Now, on Monday morning, we'll say, little Johnny, you want to go to school or you want to stay here? We'll say, little Johnny, you want to brush your teeth this morning? Little Johnny, do you want to take a bath this morning? Do you want to wash up? No, you don't say. You say, get your behind up in there. Brush them teeth and get that bathtub. Get yourself clean. Why? Because you know it's necessary. It's necessary to bring our children to the house of worship. It's necessary, my dear friends, for them to hear the preaching of the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to pray and to talk to God. That's why, it blesses my heart when we have invitation time to come and pray. Well, that probably bothers some of y'all, but I see them little kids coming up here, 4 and 5 and 6 years old. They come and kneel at the altars, and you say, well, they just down there. They don't know what they're doing. You know what they're doing, my dear friends? They're learning. They can come and talk to the Master. Woo! Hallelujah! When you're saying, preacher, hey, my friends, it's time to lead, my friends, in our homes. Instead of letting the home be us. But watch what he says. He says here, do all things without murmurings. Oh my. I wonder if we're guilty there. Look what the Bible said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. That same thought. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. The Bible says this. Oh. I meant to leave that verse off. Oh well. Use hospitality one to another without what? Grudging. I said I meant to leave it off, but I've got the reason now. What does that mean, preacher? Use hospitality. Being fond of guests. And there was silence. But Moses says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. The same words means murmurings, grumblings, secret displeasure, not openly acknowledged. How are you when guests come by? Okay, let's break it down. When guests come by, you see them pull up. You're like, man, I ain't got time to fool with them. Man, I ain't got it. But then when they get to the door, oh, man, good to see you, random man. What's up, dog? Oh, dog, what's up, man? Good, I'm glad you came by, man. Oh, yeah, my head, my high five, baby. But wait a minute, it's a few moments ago. That man, though. Why ain't you, don't you know folks call? Now, I do remember before we had cell phones, folks didn't call. Did they? Don't y'all be scared. Folks just came by the house. Let's drop by and see how so-and-so doing. Now it's like, you know, your cell phone ain't working. I mean, you ain't got my number. But the Bible says we should be fond of guests. We should be hospitable. Amen. And he says, and don't do it grudgingly. We should do it excitedly. I could do a whole message on that, but like I said, I didn't mean to touch this verse, but it was there. But nonetheless, what he's saying, not to murmur, not to complain. But let's flip back over. Look what the Bible says back over in Joshua. They were complaining. They were murmuring. They were not satisfied. I want us to ask ourselves the question, what has God given us that we're not satisfied with? Well, okay. What about that spouse you gave you? What did you say, preacher? I said, what about that spouse he gave you? Are you satisfied with your wife, with your husband that he gave you? I feel like, hey, bro, I hear the birds chirping. Well, when we came down the aisle, I wanted my marriage, I love him. We go to the preacher's office, you know, and it'll be like, come on for a minute, baby. I know you don't like me to use you, but just come on for a minute. I need to use you for a second. And we go to the preacher's office. We got to have premarital counseling. We like this. I love her. You shouldn't have did that. Oh, we good. We didn't have to go through this. Let's just go on. Just go through this. We're going to just get married. Get your hands off. You ain't married yet. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sitting in the preacher's office. But nonetheless, I mean, we do all that stuff. Then that's, you know, like, it'd be like this, you know. She on that side of the car, I'm on the side of the car. But you like that, don't you? This is called acting, okay? We gotta act, okay? I mean, but it's like, you know, man, and with all this kind of, you can feel all that stuff that's all up in here. Wait a minute. Did God give her to you? Did God give him to you or not? We walked down the aisle, we was like, yes. To death do us part. I mean, we sometimes tears. Well, I guess it was tears because you was happy. I mean, tears coming down your eyes and all kind of things like that. Listen, if God gives you something, my friends, he gives you a special gift. And we should not say, I don't want the gift that God's given me. When God gives you a precious gift that he gave you, because he said, you know what? You need this gift. Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. By the way, them children you got, you're like, man, these kids driving me. Listen, stop it. You was driving somebody crazy too. God gave you those children. There's some people that would love to have a child. And God gave you that child. God gave you that child. Love that child that God gave you. But not only that, my friends, we see they're complaining, they're murmuring. But we see a lot of it had to do with pride. Look at the Bible says in verse 14. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot? Just one, the word lot there means one little pebble, one portion, one little region to inherit. Seeing I'm a great people. We're an abundant people. For as much the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. The Lord's blessed me. I mean, come on now. Pride. A lot of times pride will cause us to complain. Because we feel like we deserve more, or we're better than everyone else, and we should have this, or we should have that. A lot of times, my friends, is motivated by pride. And look what the Bible says about pride. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse number 18. Proverbs 16. And look at verse number 18. Proverbs 16. And look at verse number 18. Straight from the Word of God. Proverbs 16, verse 18. The Bible says this. I know somebody don't want to read this, but let me read it to you. The Bible says this in verse number 18. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And an haughty spirit before fall. Right before destruction, and that word destruction means ruin. The Bible says pride, which means, the word pride here means arrogance, pomp, swelling up, is ruin. And you see a lot, I guess a good place to give a good example, you see a lot in sports. I'm the best quarterback. I'm the best. I'm the best. And even our young folks, they all come, I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the one. I'm number uno. Then they fall right into a hole. The Bible says right before ruin, right before destruction, my friends, is pride. Pride is leading the way for you and I to fall into a trap the enemy has set. And my Holy Spirit, lifted up spirit before a fall, before a stumbling. Let me give you one more on that same note. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse 4. Look what the Bible says about this pride. You know, this type of pride here, this arrogance. The Bible says in verse 4 of Proverbs 21, the Bible says, and high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is what? Sin. The Bible says a high look and a proud heart. A high look. The look is talking about with the eye. High look, you know. The Bible says it's called something. Sin. We think it's great. But the Bible says a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. And if we're not careful, we'll be so filled with ourselves that we'll find ourselves in more places of ruin and destruction than we need to be. That's what's happening with the people over here of Ephraim, or the children of Joseph. Go back over there to Joshua chapter number 17. So we see the complaining. And then we see the challenge. Watch what Joshua says. Verse 15. And Joshua answered them, well, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, cut down for thyself there in the land of Perizzites and the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And everyone said, no, what? Well, if y'all so big, mighty, and tough, and y'all all that kind of stuff, then get up. I mean, the way it's that simple, right? He says, get me up. In other words, get them moving. Anybody can talk all day long. He says, get up. Oh, and by the way, when you get up, then cut. Amen. He says, cut down them trees. Look what he said. He says, get up. Then he says, to the wood country and cut down. Get up and cut. Amen. In other words, get up and work. Anybody can sit back and complain what they don't have or what they should have. Just be sitting there complaining. Just complaining and complaining and complaining and complaining. And won't get up. I wish I had a better education. Get up and go to school. Well, I wish I had this one. I would get up. Amen. Some folks are spiritually just laying around. I wish I knew the Bible like some people knew the Bible. But get up and read. You're sitting there looking at a big old thick Bible. Well, I wish I you know, some people, like, they just have it. I mean, they can just quote scriptures and all that kind of stuff. I wish I could do that kind. Oh, but you hear so-and-so praying. Oh, I wish I could pray like that. Don't you ever pray? Amen. I mean, we're sitting there and no hardly even pray. You've been made when you start praying. Will it come out your mouth? It'll shock you. You might even confess. It's amazing how you get on your knees and start talking to God, my dear friends. As you're crying out to Him, all of a sudden, my friends, your heart starts to begin to bubble over. Next thing you know, you say, Lord, I'm so sorry for this. And God, I confess this. God, clean my heart. God, clean my mind. God, I'm tired of being the same old, same old. I'm tired of going through the motions of life. But oh, God, help me, God. Help me. Help me. My dear friends, you'll find yourself stretched out, laid out, crying and weeping before God. And before long, you'll start shouting and praising God. Say, woo, God's good. God's awesome. My soul, my, woo, glory to God. Amen. And somebody said, well, I'm just not right. But that ain't true. We go to the ball game. Don't let your kid hit no home run. Yeah. Oh, baby, my baby. Oh, my baby. Wait a minute. You don't get emotional, don't you? Depends on what it is. Listen, he says to them, well, then get up and cut down. Get up and work. He challenges them. Then the third thing we see is this. We see the true cause of their complaint. This is why they were really complaining. The Bible said in verse 16, and the children of Joseph said, hey, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. The problem was, really, intimidation. Them giants up there. I mean, not only that, I mean, they got chairs of iron and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's too hard. I don't want to do that. Anything worthwhile, you're going to have to probably fight. Fight to keep your marriage. Fight to keep your children. Fight, my dear friends, to read your Bible. Fight to pray. Fight to come to church. You got to fight yourself. You got to fight the devil. I mean, sometimes, spiritually speaking, you got to get in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, self? I'm going to whoop you today. You ain't going to win today. You know, and if you got to stop yourself, you know, I mean, it's no use, you're still there. I mean, but whatever, you got to say, no way, because I'm my biggest enemy. It ain't them folks. We always say, it's them people, it's them people. No, it's you. If you will walk out, my dear friends, with the shield of faith, my dear friends, it don't matter how many arrows the enemy has thrown at you, you got that shield of faith. They storing all that kind of stuff. You blocking it. Blocking it. Then you get to going. But if you ain't got no shield, you walk around. People just slap me inside the face, slap me this way, slap me that way. You know, and you'd be like, I'm tired of getting slapped around all the time. Well, just pick up the shield. Pick up the shield of faith, my dear friends. And then when the enemy comes your way, my soul, my friend DJ, my soul, when the enemy comes your way, you grab that shield that's impenetrable, the enemy can't, and go to that devil and say, man, you're going out my way here, and push him back. Amen. But instead, we'll be the shield. And the enemy come down there, and then here we go. Yeah, we got to talk to him. Oh, you broke my button, man. We got to go outside now. That guy gained a little weight. But anyhow, I mean, but you'll be sitting there, and you'll be tussling and tussling. But if you got that shield, you do a tap in America. Whoop. No. Yeah, see. But oftentimes, we'll walk around with no shield whatsoever. And the enemy's throwing wherever he can in our direction. But now watch this. We see the Bible says next. This is how the Lord works. We see the words of encouragement. The Bible says in verse number 17. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh. Let me pause here. These are also his kinfolk. This is the tribe he was from. So what better person to kind of get you, to get kind of give you a little extra than somebody in your family? You know. I mean, you go up in a little line, they give out food portions, and then they see you, oh, let me give you a little extra. But you know what? They want a little bit extra from Joshua. And Joshua said, you know what? Your extra is already there. All you got to do is go up there and whoop them giants and get it. Watch what he says. He says in verse 17, and Joshua said to the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art, watch what he's saying. Watch his words now. Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings or the borders of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and thou shalt, and though they be strong, you shall drive them out. You can whoop them. You can beat them. You can tear them apart, he says. All you got to do is get up and go. And by the way, he wasn't just saying this just to pump them up with words that fill with air. There was a promise that had been given. Look with me over to Deuteronomy chapter number 20 and verse 1. Look at Deuteronomy 20 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 20 and look at verse number 1. This is a promise straight from God. And look, this, look what he says right here. Right in the Word of God. The Bible says this. When, not if, but when, that means you get up and start going. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou. He says, be afraid. No. He says, be not afraid. Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel. Ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not. And do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Woo! Glory. Promise. Straight from the Word of God. So what I got to do, preacher? Get up and go. But not only that, watch this. Look at me over to Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse 17. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 17. See, God knows. God knows, my friends, that sometimes we get discouraged. God knows that sometimes we see the enemy and we say, oh my, this is a big enemy. This is a big battle. Oh my goodness, it's a giant. Oh, it's a mountain. Oh, it's just too much. But watch what he says, because he knows this. He said in verse number 17 of Deuteronomy chapter 7, if thou shalt say in thine heart, because man, your heart is what's going to get you going. These nations are more than I. How can I dispose them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did, past tense, unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, he says, the Lord thy God will send, ooh, I like this, will send the hornet among them until they are left and hide themselves from thee and be destroyed. Thou shalt not be frightened at them. For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God, and terrible. What is he saying? You're going to meet some enemies that are going to scare you, but don't be afraid. I'm going with you. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. You said, but preacher, you don't understand. It's not like a giant, like Goliath. I mean, it's not a physical person. It's Nipsco. Y'all know Nipsco is guessing right. I mean, it's a phone company. It's my job. It's my health. It's this relationship. It's this situation. After this situation, my dear friends, the same God that brings down giants is the same God that can take care of whatever problem that you and I may be facing in this life. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. The same God that breathes and calls man to become a living soul is the same God, my friends, that can take care of your problem. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't complain. Conquer. Be victorious. Believe God's word. Trust his word. Instead of going by and saying, well, believe it. And watch it work. Listen. 1989. I walked in the Galilean Baptist Church in North Cross, Georgia. Dr. Talbert Samuel Moore was preaching. The word of God gripped my heart, my soul, Miss Bobby. And it drew me to himself. I've been reading this word since 89. Been saved longer, but I've been reading this word since 89. I've been preaching this word since 91. And I've seen it not only help me personally, but I've seen it change the lives of people literally all across this world. From Grenada, huh? From, oh, in Canada. Listen, my dear friends. Hey, down in Alabama. Down there in Virginia. West Virginia. Glory to God. My dear friends, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois. Glory to God. Pennsylvania. I've seen it. I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen it. Glory! Hallelujah! It's real! 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 As long as I got breath, Sharon, I'm going to preach it till I die. Because I believe it. From Genesis to Revelations, I believe it. Do you understand all of it? I don't even understand me. But I exist. What are you saying, preacher? Listen, my pastor said this, that the Bible be your point of reference. It's something that you can stand on, that's secure, that's stable, and that stood the test of time. Many men have tried to burn it. They've tried to ban it. They've tried to trash it. They've done all they could. But it's still here. It's still here. Listen, my dear friends. I'm talking about a God that's real. A God that's genuine. Man might fail you, but God won't fail you, my dear friends. God's word won't fail you. But God says, believe my word and watch it work. Don't complain. Go and conquer. Don't complain. Go and conquer. Preacher, what happened to Ephraim and Manasseh? They kept complaining instead of conquering. Do you know who wound up beating up the Canaanites? Do you know? Egypt. Egypt. Ungodly people God used to take care of the Canaanites. Wow. But here you had God's people. You got power. You got the ability. Instead of complaining, you should be conquering. Instead of sitting by murmuring, saying we wish, we ought, we need, we stop having a powwow and go out in power and conquer the giants and the mountains that are in your life. Now, it's real easy to tell somebody else to conquer their giant. But I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm talking about you and your giant. You and your mountain. You can win. We know the verse and the other verses. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. We know that. We know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We know that. We can quote the scripture. We know the verses. We know what it says about that power. How God can do anything. There's nothing impossible with God. But are we going to be like Manasseh and Ephraim? And be so afraid that we don't trust his word. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to live in misery. I want to live in victory. I came out here this morning. I had me such a good time. Me and Jesus. I already had service when y'all got here. I had me such a good time. I wasn't feeling good earlier. I told Jolene, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. I came back down here to the church. Got to get things all together. Got to sing a few songs. And then I got to preaching a little bit. Who you preaching to, me? got to preaching a little bit. Next thing I know, I was back over here, one of them pews back in the back. I'm going, woo! Praise God! Woo! God sure good! Hallelujah! Somebody kick that devil in the mouth! Hallelujah! It's amazing. Well, a little talk with Jesus. We'll do. I got two questions. We're done. First question is this. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you. Are you complaining or conquering? Are you complaining or conquering? Second question is this. Are you overcoming or being overcome? Are you overcoming or being overcome? And here's our statement. Let's come, ask God to continuously remind us of his promises of victory. Lord, remind me of your promises of victory. And leave this morning not complaining,